T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, what's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and running on this Monday morning, but a brutal Monday morning after yesterday's awful Eagles loss. The quarterback, the head coach, the starting wide receiver who should at best be a backup wide receiver. Look, we'll discuss it all. The loss of the Giants, a major blown opportunity, which really hurts Eagles' chances for the playoffs. We'll talk about it all and do so with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Again, 215-592-9494 to get in to discuss yesterday's game. Rich.
Joe.
Hey, bud.
You know the filling for Kit Kat bars is actually broken up Kit Kat bars?
No, I didn't.
They take broken Kit Kat bars and use them to fill the wafers.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I already had a Twix this morning because I'm trying to turn
I'm
trying to turn that frown upside down, and I can tell you this, the Twix didn't help enough.
No, that's not gonna help.
It made
help
me feel
enough.
Good for like 30 seconds.
Nothing's gonna help this.
So this is rough, guys. You know, this was one of the most irritating the Eagles lost, and I'll use that's the word to me that stands out the most, irritating. It was irritating. And it's one of the most irritating Eagles losses in recent memory because, number one, they should not have lost. And number two, they probably just blew a chance for the playoff. I mean, they still have a chance. But when all is said and done, we will probably be able to look back in January and say, had they won that game, they'd make the playoffs. But because they lost it, they probably won't. And it's actually probably that simple. And so it's incredibly irritating. It's incredibly aggravating. And in my opinion, there's really 4 main people to blame. And I'll detail it quickly. The first is that, and I'm going to go in chronological order here. It's not totally chronological, but I'll start game-wise chronological. The first is the head coach, Nick Sirianni, for completely abandoning the run game for a big portion of the first half. It was idiotic. There had been a winning formula. There also had been a losing formula. And the head coach, for a while yesterday, chose the losing formula of passing the ball over the winning formula of running the ball. It was stupid. And it was really, really, really stupid, and you can make a great case that in the end it's going to cost him a playoff spot. The second person, obviously, Jalen Hurts. He was exposed in the passing game. Simple as that. Now, I also love Hurts's running, his heart, his toughness, and his improved accuracy. I'm enjoying all that.
Not yesterday.
But he is a below-average passing quarterback. It is a fact. Far too many people got carried away last week telling me he's a franchise quarterback. He's not yet. He might not ever be. He probably will be the starter next year. He is certainly the front runner for that right now. But this franchise quarterback stuff, knock it off. Number 3, Jalen Reagor. Look, we've seen a lot of games where you can pin a play or a moment on a player and say that cost the team the game. I can honestly tell you, and I can't go through all of them in my head right now, but off the top of my head, I can honestly tell you I don't ever remember a game where there's a player who has not one but 2 game-losing moments in the final 2 minutes of a game. I don't ever remember seeing it. He dropped a ball that would have been a touchdown. He dropped another ball that at a minimum would have put the ball at the 1-yard line. But But if he just catches it and leans backward, he probably gets in the end zone on that final play. The guy stinks. He is a stiff. He should not be a starter. He cannot get it done. And I would have no problem if they cut him. And let me get to point four, person four. And that's Howie, who, you know, you just got to admit your mistake on Reagor, suck it up, take the hit, and stop hurting the team by forcing this guy on the field. Guys, it's really this simple. Because the Eagles, not because they made a – I mean, they did make a bad draft pick, and that is impact on the season, no question about it.
It's an all-timer.
But because they continue to play the bad draft pick to try to justify the pick or try to hope that he's going to turn the corner, which I'm telling you right now, guys, he's not going to turn the
corner.
You're
making it worse.
It's
worse than what it looks like.
It's probably going to cost him a playoff spot. So, look, I want to hear from everyone.
I'm
215-592-9490.
I think that did cost them a playoff spot. I think – and I just want to add – I want to tack on a couple plays to the obvious Jalen Reagor plays that we all know about.
I hope one of them is the punt return when he ran out of bounds with a minute and a half to go.
I wasn't even thinking of that.
He just ran straight to the right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wasn't even thinking of that.
Yeah, well, that one.
But it is a travesty that he's out there returning kicks in any form because you're not getting the production. I mean, look to Dallas. You see their backup running back. You see what it looks like when you have someone who's actually explosive touching the ball when it's kicked.
Sure.
We don't have that. No, I'm talking about the first interception. The first interception in this game when I watched Jalen Reagor quit on a route because it was man coverage, it was bump man, and rather than fight through it, he just stopped. He just decided, you know what, I'm not going to be an option on this route. Quit on the play. What about the play before the final drop that should have been intercepted by that McKinney guy or whoever?
Yep.
Jalen Reagor, it is one of the most half-assed routes I've ever seen run in a critical moment in NFL history. Like, just, I mean, easy jog. You know, it's an in-breaking route. Easy jog for 20 yards. Slowly break to the inside. Jalen tries to hit him with the ball. The safety has all day to break on it. It was Jalen Reagor at his worst yesterday. And not just the plays that that are obvious.
Yeah.
Not just the plays that lost us the game. There were a lot of other plays, too. He was terrible. And then the post game, when I didn't even know how to take that. Jalen Reagor sounded completely, completely unfazed. And I'm thinking, is this a good thing?
Yeah.
I want him to show some, I don't know, like remorse for losing the game unaware of how terrible he truly was.
It'd be interesting to know, is he truly unaware or is he a too cool for school guy? Because I get the impression he's a too cool for school guy.
Well, last year he wasn't a too cool for school guy. Remember, he got all heated and worked up social media wise. So maybe he's just trying to go the other direction with it. But whatever it is, it doesn't work for me.
Well, it doesn't. And that's where you got to bring it back to Howie and Sirianni, the combination for choosing to play this guy. He's a stiff. He's a stiff. And the reality is this. We've seen enough guys come off practice squads through the years. Greg Ward, 2 years being an example, 2 years ago. We've seen enough guys to know there's at least 10 guys in America that could play better than Jalen Reagor that aren't being given a chance right now. At least 10. First off, I think Greg Ward's one of them. Now, he had a drop in the end zone. It was not an easy catch. It was not as easy as the Reagor's, but he should have caught it. Okay. But Greg Ward or Gainwell should be in there instead of Reagor. I guarantee you there are players across America on the other 31 practice squads. I guarantee you there are players that are better than Jalen Reagor. It's a guarantee. This guy stinks.
Yeah.
And again, the combination of all this, and let's not let Hurts off the hook.
No, he was terrible.
They've been trying to hide him. They had very effectively hit him for a couple of weeks. His running capabilities are phenomenal. And yesterday he got exposed.
He's not developed as a passer to where he needs to be. And for some reason, I don't know if they were reading their own press clippings, but yesterday it felt like,
I don't know
that this is a fact,
yep.
It felt like they said, okay, this Giants team, they're missing their safety. They're rearranging the entire secondary. They're bad. This is a game where we can throw the ball, and we can try to see what we have with Jalen. Now, over the month where we were dominant, we were running the ball 44 times a game. Yesterday, we ran it 33 times. We know in the end that that wasn't adequate, that this team needs to run the ball 40-plus times in order to be effective.
And John,
part of the problem is Jordan Howard wasn't available.
I'm aware.
And let's not overlook the fact that Miles Sanders, while somewhat healthy, was on the sideline in favor of Boston Scott.
They benched him. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no, and they, but by there the way.
This is in flux. This running back room is in flux. And the best one of them all started the season on the practice squad.
Listen.
Think about that. You got Jalen Reagor out there, the focal point of an offense. And you've got the best, just like Greg Ward was languishing on the practice squad forever. And the players are saying, man, this guy's killing us in practice. Why is he on the practice squad? The best running back on this team was on the practice squad to start the season. And now we see that we can't function at full effect without him in the run game. Like, this is all upside down.
It is.
And it's in large part because of the front office's directives.
Well, I agree with that. And then I'll just bring it back to where I started. I mean, Sirianni wasted. He wasted 20, 25 minutes yesterday before getting into the run game. He just wasted time.
Yeah.
He wasted drives. And then once they finally
think about it. When they ran the ball 9 times in a row, they went down and scored.
Yeah, no, they did.
And then they ran it, I don't know, 4 more times in a row. Like they ran it like 13 times in a row, and we were productive. And then all of a sudden, poof.
Yeah.
Pass the ball
fail. It's one of the most irritating losses I can remember in years. And one of the main reasons is, come on, gut feeling. Don't you know that this probably is going to cost them a playoff spot? Now, guys, the season's not over, and there are still winnable games ahead. But when all is said and done, this game probably will have cost them a playoff spot. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Go ahead, John.
I want to know, what is the point of this season for this organization? Is it? I think a coach's job should be to win games, not to evaluate players, right?
Well, I think it's a little of both, but
No. I don't think it is a little of both. I think for a front office, it's a little of both. For a coach, it's to win games. Now, if the coach has his say, I think that they go out and they win that game and they run the ball. But I don't know if his hands were tied yesterday. It sure looked that way.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, really, really aggravating. To the phones we go, Channing in Center City. What's up, Channing?
Yo, what's up, fellas? I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving over the
you too,
over
man.
On Thursday.
And listen,
man.
Channing, how about how great we felt on Thanksgiving seeing Dallas and the Saints lose, and
then they
just gave it all back yesterday. They gave it all back.
My biggest blame is Nick Sirianni on this one. The job of a head coach, you put your players in the best position to succeed, and he didn't do that at all. I'm going to take you guys back to when they were third and two, and they passed the ball incomplete. Jalen Hurts, he tells the special teams to go back on the sidelines.
Yep. Yeah.
Fourth and two, you throw it again? I never get that when a team's on third and short – and they pass the ball, and then they want to go for it on fourth down and then pass it again. I never got that. If you're going to go for it on fourth down when it's third and short, why not run the ball 2 times? I mean, it's just mathematically, you're going to get 2 yards out of 2 run plays. I never got that, Joe or John.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But my fiance almost kicked me out of the house yesterday. I watched that last play for like a half an hour.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how wide open Devontae Smith was across the middle.
Yep.
I need to see the coach's copy on that one, because it did look like he broke free. But I do know that there was a safety back there, and I don't know exactly where
top.
He was standing.
There was, I want to see the all 22.
Yeah.
On that play, but my goodness, if it was a quick decision. He could have thrown the ball. He could have got out of bounds. We could have ran another play. How much time was left
listen,
on that?
No, there was definitely time, Channing. Appreciate the call. They could have completed a pass and spiked the ball. They definitely could have. They completely messed it up. And then, of course, there's the mess up before the end of the first half, which was a disaster. Presumably, and I'll use the term presumably, Sirianni told him, hey, Jalen, don't take all 8 seconds. Let's start with that principle. Don't take all eight. I mean,
oh,
that,
well,
was
hold
su-
on,
that was
hold
such
on.
A mess up.
That needed to be. That is a perfect occasion for a coach who is in his headset,
of course,
who is talking to him up until 15 seconds before the snap,
yep,
should be saying to Jalen Hurts, okay, Jalen, listen, you got 8 seconds. If it's not there immediately,
totally,
throw the ball away, exactly, and we're going to take 3 points away from this. Yeah. Carry that into the halftime. Yeah. And I don't think that was done.
Well, I don't know that.
Okay. If that's inculcated into him, repeated to him constantly for 40 seconds prior to the snap, I think he throws the ball away instead of trying to do the Jalen thing, which is break right, look, and then, you know, throw a prayer.
It'd be a great question for a reporter to ask Sirianni in his press conference.
Yeah.
Because that moment played a direct role in the game also, and the game plays a direct role in the playoffs. It really is amazing. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, freaking aggravated. All right? I don't need 37 callers today to ask me how I'm doing. All right? I'm freaking aggravated. That's how I'm doing. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, just an incredibly irritating, aggravating, frustrating, demoralizing, horrible loss yesterday by the Birds. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Paul in Downingtown's with us on this brutal Monday. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, man. This was garbage Monday. You're absolutely right. And a lot of the callers and, you know, a lot of the fans and everybody's things that are going to be talked about today, the people that are going to be blamed, there's a thread that connects them all, and that thread is Howie Roseman. I don't want him to, you know, escape any kind of culpability here. I have a little bit of an agenda when it comes to that guy because I don't think he belongs. He's a square peg in a round hole kind of a thing for me. He can go back to doing numbers and all that, but keep him out of player evaluation, keep him out of everything that has to do with actual football development and recognition of talent, drafts, all that. Just get him out of here because Rager, the Jalen's, and the coach with no experience, that's all on Howie. They're all here because of Howie. You know, forget the fact that Jefferson catches all of those balls yesterday. Forget the fact that he just
went over 1,000 yards yesterday, didn't he?
Exactly. I mean, let's forget all that.
For the second year in a row.
The obvious talent so he could look like the smartest guy in the room because of his ego. Let's forget that he puts his ego before the team. Okay, let's forget all that for a minute and just look at the horrible job he does and how that manifested on the field yesterday. And you know, you can, you know, say, oh, well, you know, that 58 minutes and 41 seconds, Hurts was the worst quarterback in the league and didn't belong in the NFL. Okay, I won't argue with that. But who put him there? You know, who made these cockamamie decisions to go ahead and throw the ball, you know, 14 of the first 18, you know, times that we ran a play or whatever? Who put that idiot in charge? Well, Howie did. Okay, who drafted the guy in the first round that has stone hands, can't run a route, and has no heart? There's kids in high school that run better routes than this kid and try harder. And all Jay Rager's going to do is get on social media and cry because he's a me-first, pity-me, stupid son of a gun. You know what I mean? And that guy can go. I don't want to see him or Howie Roseman anywhere near this organization again. All right? I mean, that's the best thing that could happen today. The only thing that's going to put a smile on my face is something I hate saying. Two guys losing their job. They should be held accountable for what they did. They should be out of here, gone today.
All right, Paul, appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Neil in North Jersey. Neil, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, thanks as always for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it.
Sure, Neil.
This performance was an absolute disgrace. And the thing that makes me angry more than anything else is the when you listen to that Jalen Rager press conference, he literally sounds like a person who's this la-di-da, no effort, no heart person who really like the line in White Men Can't Jump, it rather look good and lose than look bad and win. And to me, that's a very bad look when it comes to Eagles or being a wide receiver. But here's the thing that angers me the most. Jalen Hurts had the worst game of his career. Under 50% completion percentage, 3 interceptions. Somehow, in spite of all of that, he gets down to midfield and put a chance to win. And Jalen Rager has a wide open, all he has to do is jump and catch it.
Yep.
And he could not do a basic thing like this. Jalen Rager needs to be cut today. This guy cannot be a starting receiver on this team. Think about it this way. If we spread everybody out, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Rager, the other teams know they're not going to throw to him. So they're going to double Goddard and they're going to double Devontae Smith because they know the other receivers have no integral part in the passing game. And it all goes back. And then Sirianni yesterday, I think he abandoned the run a little too soon. He went back to that, you know, behind-the-line screen.
Well, it was a joke. I mean, it wasn't that he – I mean, yeah, he abandoned the run within the season. He didn't run the ball in the first quarter. I mean, call that abandon the run. I mean, it was a total disgrace by Sirianni moving away from what had been a winning formula to the losing formula. It was a disgrace.
Exactly. And in closing, let me say this. You know, as you guys know, in Philadelphia, 1 week they love you, 1 week they hate you. But the thing about Jalen Hurts that I'm noticing more and more, he is the second coming of Tyrod Taylor at his best. At his worst, think about this. We need to have a run-heavy offense to the point where we have to limit. It's almost like a pitch count.
Yeah, but Neil, here's the one thing I'll disagree with you on there. Appreciate the call. He's better than Tyrod Taylor in part because he's a much better runner than Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah,
and Hurts' running capabilities is part of why the team becomes a good rushing attack, because they can run it up the middle, and linebackers on the edge and defensive ends on the edge are wary that Hurts might keep the ball, and that helps Boston Scott and Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard get additional yards every game.
He's not as developed as Tyrod is as a passer.
I agree with that.
Diagnoser of defenses either.
John, it was brought up by, I think it might have been two callers already. I put it up on social media after the game. Cut Reagor. Do you think that this organization?
No.
I don't either. Let me frame it. I don't either.
I agree.
Yeah,
no.
I agree. All right, now let me frame the question another way. I agree with you, John. They're not going to cut him. He shouldn't be a starter. That's obvious. Whether he's a backup or off the team entirely, he should not be a starter. He should not be out there as he typically is, 70 to 80% of plays within the game. Do you think, John, that this organization – forget the organization, the head coach. You know, he does all this connecting principle that he puts out there. Does cutting a player for cause of stinking, does that fly in the face of connecting – as a young coach with a locker room, how do you size that one? We're connecting, but I got to cut you. I mean, Ned Stark in Game of Thrones was a good dude, but if he had to swing the sword, he would swing the sword. John, does this coach, because he wants to, and I'm not making a, you know, kill Reagor comment here. What I'm saying is sometimes you have to cut a player, in part to put better players on the field, also in part so that the other 52 players understand that, hey, head coach ain't messing around here.
I tell you what, it would send a message.
It would send a huge
message.
Those
players would look at one another and say, finally,
right?
They're doing the right thing. You think those players don't see? Those players, when they watch that tape today and they watch Jalen Reagor quit on routes, how do you think they're going to feel? I mean, they were desperate to win that game.
How about
they gave
Kelsey?
Everything they
Kelsey
had to win that game.
Kelsey came back in the game. He was injured.
Sacrificed
his
body.
I love that guy.
And then you've got guys like Jalen Reagor. I can't believe. Just take the opportunity at some point just to check it out. Just check out a play here or there. The first interception, the second to last play of the game. Watch the effort that he puts forth. It's pathetic.
It's a disgrace.
And so I think that I think some coaches would make that move. They would cut him, and they would say, you know what, this is going to do our team a load of good. It's going to send that message, and it's going to resonate, and guys will be – they will know that from this point forward, we will hold you accountable to your level of effort and what you're giving back to this team. But there's no way that Nick Sirianni will be permitted to cut you.
And let me say this, Andy Reid.
Jalen Reagor.
People, you got to go back 20 years ago. They might remember Andy Reid cut Brian Finneran. He dropped a ball in Andy's first game down the left sideline, would have clinched the game versus Arizona, game one for Andy. He cut him. He dropped the ball. It would have been 3 kneel downs in the game over. Finneran dropped the ball. Andy Reid cut him. Now you can say, hey, kind of a mistake. And Brian Finneran went on for a 7, 8, 9 year career with the Falcons as a backup receiver. Had a nice run. He was pretty good. But you can also make the case, and I don't know which is more true, but you can also make the case, and the guys in the locker room could probably tell you, well, definitely could tell you a lot more about this than I could at that time, that it sent a message to all those young, impressionable Eagles. Remember, that whole group was young and impressionable, other than Troy, who was a veteran. But most of all the guys who became our guys, Deuce, Donovan, Doc, Trot, Trey, all those guys were young, all of them. And, you know, I've always wondered what role Andy cutting that player had in establishing the discipline that all those guys talk about with young Andy Reid laying down the law early in his tenure. And it just strikes me like Nick Sirianni doesn't have those chops. Now, Finneran, backup player, and a guy that obviously was not a first-round draft pick versus Jalen Reagor, first-round draft pick in year two. But the reality is this. You choose to play Jalen Reagor, okay, you hurt your team. Simple as that.
Drops yesterday were atrocious.
Oh, they were awful, John.
Forget about the lack of effort on the routes. The two drops at the end, the one with whatever, 54 seconds, the other one with less than that, it was, I mean, that's football 101. That was, the first one, he actually tried to trap the ball against his face because he has so little faith in his hands to catch it. He tried to trap it. It's tight coverage. He's got a guy hanging off of him. So, you know, that there's that.
Yeah.
That makes it tough. But when you're in that situation, you reach for the ball. Yeah. You use your hands and you reach for the ball. I mean, like, your hands are facing you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Instead of allowing it to come, like, fall into the basket where you're trying to trap it against your face, you reach back for it. You beat the defender to the ball. It was just, rudimentary.
Here's why that situation to me drives me nuts so much this morning and yesterday watching the game. Because we had seen this coaching staff clearly learn this season the what to do and what not to do. Let's run the ball instead of pass the ball. Let's play T.J. Edwards instead of, you know, the collection of six different linebackers that were playing early in the year. Like, there were some let's play Jordan Howard instead of not play him when he's healthy. And yet there's this glaring example of Reagor who flies in the face of all that. I wasn't calling for Jalen Reagor to be benched after week one or two or three or four. I thought it was worth trying to see if he could turn the corner. I thought that it was likely that he was better than Greg Ward. I sure did. It became obvious at a certain point this year that line of thinking is stupid. Move off that. Yeah. Give the team the best chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And yet, whether it's Lurie, Howie, or Sirianni, and I'll always put it primarily, honestly, on Sirianni because he's the coach. I'm not moving off that. He is the coach. They lost the game in large part because they're trying to force something that's stupid, and that's this guy to turn a corner, which ain't happening, guys. It's not going to happen.
You've got two guys who can do a better job than he does right now.
Gainwell and Ward?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Even with the injuries that you're dealing with and all that, Kenny Gainwell, while I know he's labeled a running back, I think he does a really nice job out there split out wide. You can put him in the slot. You can redesign the plays and have him, you know, motion out of the backfield. And that'll really put the defense in a bind also. And Greg Ward, despite the fact people say, he dropped one yesterday too, he's just flat out better. And he's going to give you better effort.
There's no question. And, guys, we've seen enough. And Jordan Howard is an example. I guarantee you there are players on practice squads around the league that can do a better job than Reagor. I know it.
Yeah.
I don't have to see them to know it. Common sense tells me it.
It was a terrible outing yesterday for everyone, and despite that, I mean, you have no right winning a game when you turn the ball over four times, but we were right there.
I know.
And we could have been bailed out any player worth his salt, yet Reagor was not worth his salt yesterday,
wasn't.
And we've seen repeatedly that he's not going to be that guy.
No,
for
he's
it.
Not. Let's go to TR in Winfield. Hey, TR. TR is most definitely not there.
You at all worried about the fact that every defense is going to try to do what the Giants did to us?
Meaning what?
They're going to force – you know, after the game they said, hey, we wanted to see if Jalen Hurts could beat us with his arm. They played a lot of man. You know, they forced him to I thought they did a nice job of making their coverage very compact and tight to where it wasn't always obvious to Jalen what he was looking at. You know, like,
well, he got confused.
They were passing the zone off so well.
Yep.
And it just so happened that, they're playing man, but with Dallas Goedert, there was always, like, an extra guy around. So it was almost like he was getting doubled. and they did that a few times over the top with Devontae.
Oh,
they did a nice job coverage wise, and I'm saying the next two coaches that you're facing, the next two head coaches you're facing in Salah and Rivera, are defensively minded guys. They're gonna say, "Holy cow, the Giants did that with a retrofitted, like revamped defensive secondary. They looked pretty good, made us look pretty awful when we had to throw the ball. Why not just line up and man and do the same thing?
Yeah, well,
see if they can beat us the same way."
I'll say this. A lot of those times, ordinarily, Hurts would take off and run. But he obviously, in the second half, didn't feel he had the capability with that ankle injury, which was, like, never even brought up by the announcers in the game.
Yeah, true.
How do the how in the world do these two knuckleheads calling the game for Fox not bother to tell the audience, "Oh, hey, everyone, Jalen Hurts is obviously injured and choosing not to run the ball"?
They didn't do the entire first drive. I mean, Kelce was out. They didn't mention the entire first drive. It was all over Twitter. It's like, Kelce's not in the game, and it's like, okay, you're going to tell us about it? It took him like 10 plays.
Every single week I complain about the announcers because every single week they stink, all of them. And by the way, I really hope people actually come around.
No, that's in part because we stink.
No, but there should be – I've said this before. There should be enough good crews in the NFL. It shouldn't be that hard to find good announcers. And I actually hope people start having some appreciation for Collinsworth, Buck, Aikman, all those guys at the top level. Because you never have these mistakes at that level. This is a joke. I mean, they never even tell you, "Oh, Hurts obviously is choosing not to run." I mean, they just don't even bother to mention it to the audience. Let's go to DJ. And it was so obvious that the ankle was bothering him. DJ, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I wanted to point out the what about this backup center who, in the first half of the game, he had so many holding penalties.
Yeah, it was a killer.
The first one negated a touchdown.
Yeah.
And
I think that was the second one. I think the first one was the long run. The second one, I believe, was the touchdown. I could have the order wrong, but I think I got it right.
Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah, I mean, you want to be at the end of the game in that position with this guy making these huge penalties like that. Like, I really think someone's got to take a big part of the blame. It's got to be this guy because, I think he blew it big time.
Well, he did blow it. But he is also a backup, for what it's worth. I mean, I'm not letting him off the hook. I'm just telling you.
Look, he's not his experience.
Yeah.
He needs to learn. He'll learn from that. He'll learn, hey, you don't have to go back and clothesline the guy when he's already – you can just run him past the play. He very easily could have just put a big paw out there and pushed him by. Instead, he clotheslined him and made it obvious. Like, everyone holds on – every single play in every single NFL game. It's just a matter of learning to disguise it so they don't call you for it.
Yeah, for sure. And that was a little excessive twice. And to me, it's one of those moments, Sean, watching that game, and I'm thinking, you know what? Kelce, when this season's over, because it seems like he's year to year now, whether he's going to continue to play or retire, that's just a feel it's been like for a couple of years. To me, if I'm Howie or Lurie or whoever's going to be running the show at the end of the year, It's a blank check to Jason Kelce at the end of the year. And just say, just fill in the dollar amount.
Oh, and it's not
just fill it in.
It's not just the physical stuff.
Totally.
Hey, when you've got a young quarterback who doesn't always know exactly what he's looking at, it's invaluable to have a center that is omniscient. The guy knows everything.
I love Kelce.
He sees everything. He gets us in all the right calls.
It's why our O-line.
I mean, that's reason number one. Why the O-line is great, yeah, they've got a lot of talent. We've got incredible tackles.
Yeah.
But, you know, these young guys, we just seem to rotate through on the inside. It's because they're next to a master at center. He just teaches them how to play, tells them where to block and who to block.
To Ron in Monco. Yo, Ron.
Hammer.
Hey, buddy.
Richie.
Ron.
Was it Thursday or Friday, your buddy Karnak over there was, isn't this one of the games he just rushed right over?
I thought the Eagles were going to win, Ron, and they should have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you're the gift that just keeps on giving. You did it again.
Look, they should have won. They didn't.
Ron,
you want to come after me? Say whatever you want to say.
You guys were going at it over that.
Well, we've gone at it over a lot of things. I haven't yet brought up today that John last week told me that Hurts is better than Tom Brady in 2001. But I was going to leave that. What?
I know you're trolling me, dude, because I'm the one that said cut him today, and you said yes, I agree, cut him today.
Wait, who are you talking about, Rager?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't believe me. I didn't say cut Rager because I heard you say it, Ron. I am able to formulate some thoughts of my own without getting Ron and Monco's opinion.
Yo, this is listen. This is why this team is just not going to go anywhere. Is because you know he goes out, he makes the bad picks. And then it's like, you know, we have to endure this. You know, I'm a grown man, and I cannot get over whenever I watch Metcalf, Lamb, Jefferson. When I see these guys playing, not that doesn't have to be against us, and then I watch what we got on the field, this is, you know, I don't know where this is going to go because, you know, the word was somebody knew somebody's father here with Rager.
Yeah.
And you guys know anything about
that?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Aaron Moorhead was tight with Monte Rager.
I'm a New England Patriots fan now. I'm done. I can't take this.
First off, wash your mouth out with the soap saying that comment. Come on, Patriots fan.
Hey, the Patriots.
No, I understand. I know they look good.
Incredible. And it brings back the whole thing. Like, remember when everyone was saying Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Tom Brady got the better of that deal. Man, the Patriots now. And I cannot help myself every time I watch Mac Jones play. And I think, man, they just have him. They have him doing just enough. And they're bringing him along every week. And I know he's not the same guy as Jalen Hurts is. But if Josh McDaniels, his offensive coordinator, were working with our quarterback, how much different would our quarterback look? Josh McDaniels was brushed aside by this front office in favor of Nick Sirianni.
Of course, yeah.
Don't you wonder?
Well,
I know Josh McDaniels is better at calling plays. He's better at designing plays. And it looks like he's pretty darn good at developing young quarterbacks, too.
Yeah, but he's got a much better passing quarterback to work with. So I can't gloss over that reality.
Okay, but then we won't pass. We're certainly not going to run the same plays.
Look, I've thought about the McDaniels thing too, and it's worth cycling back, and it's worth cycling back should the Eagles have drafted Mac Jones. And these are conversations we might be having for 10 years. I'm just saying, you know, Hurts can't be the easiest quarterback for Sirianni to effectively have quality passing plays with when he's just a below average passing quarterback. That's all I'm saying there.
But we don't have to be a passing offense.
I agree.
Like we've shown better when we're not a passing offense.
My first point today was Sirianni blew it in the first half by getting away from running the ball. I mean, it was so
stupid.
And
why did they do that? And was it because they thought, this is a perfect opportunity to evaluate Jalen?
He said.
Is that what it is?
He said, and I think it was in the interview with Angela. If not, it was the post-game press conference last night. The two were running together in my head. But at one point, he referenced that he thought they could do some stuff in the passing game in play action. You know, they saw something with the Giants and thought it would be there. They thought it. They were wrong. Hey, Nick, you were wrong. And it cost the team the game. Chioda Cameron, John Ritchie. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. You can watch and wager on all pro sports and college sports online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Here's the question, man. I didn't want to ask this question today, but I'll ask it. Because after Thursday, we were feeling so good. Dallas had lost. Eagles probably still weren't going to win the division, but they had a shot. The Saints had lost. I mean, all the Eagles had to do was win yesterday, and they'd be in a playoff spot right now because of the fact that, you know, Minnesota and and San Fran played against each other. So it looked like playoff possibilities were really ripe. Well, today's question, will yesterday's loss cost the Eagles a playoff spot? Reach deep in your heart and answer this one. Will yesterday's loss cost the Eagles a playoff spot? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. While it's unprovable at this stage, I think the correct answer there is yes. It will. It probably will prove to cost them a playoff spot. And, of course, Sean, cost them a playoff spot also, you know, is the Jalen Rager drops. Not one, but two. And I actually appreciated a certain degree, not full frankness, from Sirianni. He's going to cover for his player a little bit, and he should cover for his player a little bit. But I did appreciate Sirianni with Angelo this morning. Let's listen to this exchange, because there's the whole, well, you can't just pin it on one player or one play. But Sirianni also told you that he caught the ball, they would have won. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni with Angelo with this exchange today.
You know, there was a lot of plays. You know, we all had our hand in that one, right? And so there was the play calling, the turnovers, the drop at the end. I mean, it's just, you know, when it happens at the end, I know what it can seem like, and that it's all on that guy, but it's on all of us. It's on, and it starts with me as the head coach.
Nick, I've heard that a lot in my life. It never comes down to one play, and I understand exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of mistakes in the course of a game. But if Rager catches either of those balls, you win the game, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that's the way it would go. Yeah, right?
Then we were down by six.
Yeah. We were down by six. He catches it, and we win. But, again, I've been taught that in my life in football for the longest time, like, because we didn't have to put ourselves in that position. And so I'm never going to put – the blame on one person, except it being myself.
All right, Sirianni with Angelo, and that full interview coming up in the 12 o'clock hour from their conversation this morning. I mean, obviously Sirianni's sort of hedging his bet there. He's telling you it's not all on one guy, but he's also telling you. And it's not all just on one guy, but we all know, common sense tells us, if he catches those balls, the Eagles probably win, especially the second one, because there's just less time left on the clock. The first one, in theory, the Giants are going to have, you know, whatever it would have been, a minute or so to come back down the field. The second one, there's only like, I don't know, 20 seconds left. Just catch the ball. You're going to win the game. Let's go to Chris in Ocean City. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Chris.
Man, just such a bummer yesterday. I think my biggest takeaway is just what a golden opportunity was missed.
Correct.
Not only for the team, but for individuals too. I mean, like, the city was behind Jalen. The city was warming up to Sirianni. And it was just such a failure on that part. I think one of the things that saddens me the most is that so much this year we've talked about the intangibles and the leadership and the qualities and characteristics of these young players that were so appealing, and you just didn't see that yesterday. And I guess I thought that they had progressed enough as a team that they wouldn't have that type of regression. And it's really hard. And it's like, as much as I hear you all blaming Sirianni and stuff for the play call, and if you're an NFL quarterback, you got to be able to throw the ball,
correct,
man. Like,
correct.
You've got to be able to have that confidence. And then similarly, even with as bad as he played, even after turning the ball over four times, it still took Rager to drop not one but two touchdown passes.
Well, Chris, here's the irony, I think, with your call. I got to think about if I feel confident to say this. I think I feel confident to say this. I think most of the Eagles players yesterday played really good. I think the defense did its job.
I think the
offensive line did its job. I think Devontae Smith did his job. I mean, this game really came down to the quarterback was ineffective in the passing game. He also had a bum ankle, which affected his running. The head coach was an idiot in the first half, not choosing to run the ball. And the wide receiver dropped two passes in the final minute and a half. I mean, I actually think most Eagles yesterday played a really good game.
Look at the stats. Our defense should feel pretty
good
about what they did.
I mean, the defense did a fantastic job. They did a fantastic – I mean, Chris, they did a great job. I mean,
they scored 13 points.
Yeah,
Saquon Barkley was held to 40 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
He had, you know, 13 yards receiving. Their top receiver had 50 yards.
Yeah, Chris.
Kenny Golladay had three catches for 50 yards.
I don't think this is like an indictment on a team loss type thing. I think a couple of key individuals blew the game.
Jalen Hurts. Jalen Rager.
And Nick Sirianni. Blowing the first half. That's where they lost the game, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, but I also think you have to understand that you had a touchdown called back by a hold.
Well, yes.
Goddard had a drop. Gainwell had a drop. And just mentally, they didn't look sharp. They looked slow, lethargic. And that's where I do think it's a team failure. And, you know, I'm not saying that, like I'm out on everybody.
But here's the thing,
that.
Chris. They looked slow and lethargic in the first half. You know why? You ready? Real quick. Because the head coach chose not to run the ball. It's really simple.
I think there's
that. If
they
pass it a lot, they're gonna generally fail. And if they run it a lot,
then they'll
they're
going
to generally succeed. This is really not that complicated. It's really not. 215-592-9494.
Pride thing? Like,
Well, look, he said he thought he saw stuff in the passing game that could go against the Giants.
Right.
I mean, coaches make misevaluations sometimes. He probably expected the Giants to be loading the box against the Eagles, and so he's trying to counter it and all that.
But I think to some degree it was, hey, we are better than what people think we are at throwing the ball, and here we have a chance to throw the ball, and we're gonna show them.
Maybe. It's a maybe. It's amazing.
You know, smelling themselves a little bit, just a little bit.
It's certainly possible. One other thing, I just want to say this before we go any further, because he had a huge fumble in the game, Boston Scott. But before we go any further, let me express, I love that guy. I love Boston Scott. I mean, talk about a player that plays with heart, tenacity, physical toughness.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's run, when he got inside the 5-yard line yesterday – and trucked that Giants guy in the process.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
He is. And by the way, someone, like, alert me when Miles Sanders breaks a tackle. Because the next time we see it will probably be the first time this year we've seen it.
I thought that was a good sign yesterday that Boston Scott was chosen in favor. You know, like,
but again,
they decided to go with him out
there.
He did. That was a big step.
Listen, it was a very big step. But again, and this is the story of the season, probably too little too late, with when you make the change.
Oh, and he did fumble.
Like,
he did fumble.
I like Boston Scott, but that was a massive fumble, an avoidable fumble.
I agree.
You got to hang that on him.
If he puts that left hand on top of that ball, I mean, going through traffic.
He messed up.
He doesn't fumble
he
there.
He flat out messed up.
But that's another thing. Just by sheer experience, he will not do that again. Like, I don't think going through that traffic, he'll have it in one arm, just the right arm the next time. And that'll help.
Yeah,
that's
a
positive.
It is a positive. I guess part of my – and, James, you're 100% right. He fumbled. It was brutal. It was a massive moment. And without it, there's a good chance they win the game. But very notable.
We still had a chance to win.
Got
it right back.
And great job by the D getting it back. And horrible possession by the Giants. They went 9 yards backwards. That was all stupid. But just very notable. Don't lose sight of it. And they might try to lie to you this week and tell you Sanders was injured. Guys, Nick Sirianni benched Miles Sanders in the second half. He benched him.
Yeah,
it's not a matter of opinion. It's a fact.
Well, Nick Sirianni did, or the running back coach did.
But in the end, it's Sirianni, because if Sirianni wants him to play, he's going to play. Nick Sirianni benched Miles Sanders. But it's as is so often the case this year, probably a case of too little too late. You wasted games in the beginning of the year passing it too much. You wasted the first half yesterday passing it too much. You've wasted now 12 games playing Jalen Reagor too much. And for all the people out there that wanted Miles Sanders to be the guy, and he had some very nice runs yesterday, he has a style of running that is not optimal for this football team. And the head coach knows it. He knows it. And he's
I didn't realize the snap count. Miles Sanders, 22 snaps.
Yeah.
Boston Scott had 34.
Yeah, he got benched. Miles Sanders was benched yesterday.
Well, you could see him standing on the sideline looking on.
Oh, 100% you could. He was benched.
Yeah.
Jota Cameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Coming up, Seth Joyner. Man, did this resonate with me yesterday when he talked about letting Dallas off the hook. The loss and the impact on a season that had started to show signs of hope. Seth fired up last night on TV. We'll play that audio for you. We'll rock all your calls. Jota Cameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.